In the Mix with Bart Cop Radio.
Gentlemen, with that particular song, you know what time it is? That's right. It's time for Tommy Mac and Bart Cop. The 100th show, the century show. Hey, Bart, how you doing?
Brr, I'll tell you, it's so cold in Oklahoma, my cable TV is frozen.
Good God, I hate it when that happens. Your cable TV is frozen. Is that some kind of a joke? Are you trying to be funny or something?
No, it started, you know, I've been wishing for some cold weather all this year.
Yeah.
And finally it hit the other day, and the day it hit, the cable just started pixeling and whatever that's called, tiling, I think they call it.
Mm-hmm. Where everyone looks like they're made of Picasso's cubist-type paintings.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I called the Cox Cable, and I said, come out and fix this. And they said, well, we can be out there in a couple days. And a couple days later, it got a little warmer, and it went away. So I called them and said, no, don't bother. Now it's cold again today. It's back to frozen.
You know, what brilliant man thought that naming his cable company Cox is a good idea? I mean, if I was Comcast, I would just say Comcast Cable. We're not Cox. I mean, what do you think?
Well, the worst part is the spelling.
I know. C-O-X. Yeah, crazy. So, hey, Bart, this is your 100th radio show.
Took us a couple years to get here, didn't it?
What is our problem? I mean, it's crazy, but look back on where you've been and where you started and where you are now. It's quite extraordinary. And all the Bart Cop radio listeners that journeyed with us. What do you got to say to them?
Well, I'd like to apologize for the lack of progress. The tone of the show got a little better, but I'm not sure I got any smarter.
Well, we already knew that, but...
Yeah, it's kind of sad. I've been doing, call it whatever, 100 shows, couple hours of show, 200 hours of radio I got behind the microphone. Your vulgar pig boy started when he was 16. He's probably got, 30, 40,000 hours behind the microphone. I got 200. He's ahead of me.
Yeah, but it's not the quantity. It's the quality, and I can assure you, the vulgar pig boy, he's just spewing diarrhea out of his mouth.
Well, I'm a better human being than him, so fuck him anyway.
That's right. In fact, that's a bumper sticker right there. We're all better human beings than Limbaugh, so fuck him.
I'm with you.
Cool. So what's new? What's improved? Tell me how your world is going, Bart.
Well, I'll tell you what's crazy. Someone stole my Glock out of my car.
That is really odd. Someone stole your gun, which you use to protect your property.
Yeah. I mean, I always keep it in the car. I don't ever take it out of the car unless, if I take it in for, an oil change or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only time I take it out of the car. And generally, I remember to do that, but maybe I didn't this time. Maybe someone saw it and grabbed it. But I just noticed one day, I saw some guy I didn't like on the side of the road, and I thought, well, I wonder if he might need killing. I reached back there for my gun. He wasn't there, so he got away this time. But hell, I had to go buy me another damn gun.
Well, did you tell the police? I mean, your weapon's out there and it's registered to use. Someone could be using it.
Well, I thought about that and I weighed the odds of someone shooting somebody with that gun and the cops thinking I did it. You know, on Law and Order, they always do that. They say, where's your gun? Oh, it got stolen. And you didn't report it? You know, they do that.
Mm-hmm.
But it turns out the guy that fired him a week ago is the guy who got shot. I mean, there will be none of that with me, but I failed to report that because... You know the cops are going to want to come in my house and look around. I just don't need a cop in my house.
Okay. I believe you. But more importantly, I believe in you. So I guess we can start singing that song. Bot's got a gun. Bot's cop's got a gun. Or something like that.
But you know, it's kind of a fun story. I went to Dong's. D-O-N-G, Dong's Sporting Goods here in Tulsa.
Dong's?
Dong's.
D-O-N...
Like Long Dong Silver?
Man, you got cable from Cox, you get your sporting goods from Dong's. This is turning into something very phallic, man.
So I go there and I said, I'd like that one, the pretty black one with the big G on the side. And they said, okay, we got to look you up. And as older readers might remember, I set the record for Tulsa County, right after the Brady Bill. I went and bought me a little tiny Derringer, one of those two-seaters. And, for the occasional poker game, if somebody rips me off at a poker game, I go for my boot and they're dead.
Like you do.
And so I went up there and I said, so what, you going to call me? And they said, no, just hang around. And 90 seconds later, he says, damn, you're approved. And I said, yeah, law-abiding citizen. So I go back to this time. I said, yeah, I want the one there with the G on it. And they said, we got to call you in. I said, okay. And then I see him marked down on, you know, he's raiding off all the serial numbers and that to the county, whatever, whoever they call for Brady. And I see him put a check mark by hold. I'm like, what is this about? And he said, well, they say they're going to need some more time to check you out. I said, why? I'm homeowner, been in town 30 years, never been arrested, probably. Yeah, I'm thinking they got the damn webpage marked somewhere. Look for a reason to fuck with this guy, is what I think I have behind my name.
Welcome to the Republicans America.
Sons of bitches.
Crazy.
You'd think I'd get points with him for trying to buy a damn gun.
I was about to say, you know my feelings on guns, but, you know, everyone, each to their own.
You're not a gun owner yourself?
No point.
Texas boy like you?
You know, I'm from Texas. I live in Los Angeles. You would think that there would be a gun somewhere in my life. Not going to happen.
How is L.A. on guns? They're not like New York, are they? Can you have a gun in L.A.?
No. Well.
Really?
You can have a registered gun. Yeah, you can do that.
Oh, okay.
But Texas, you can have concealed weapons with you when you go to 7-Eleven.
Oh, they give you time off for good behavior if you got a loaded gun on you in Texas.
True.
Do you remember when that son of a bitch ran? I guess it was in 2000. Remember, he made it legal to carry a gun into court? Can you believe it? He made it legal to carry a gun into a church, a court, and a football stadium. Now, what are you going to do with a gun in court where they ruin people's lives, where they take your kids from you, where they take your house from you, where they tell you your assets are now being transferred to this other sumbitch over there? They allow guns in a courthouse in Texas. And then they had one guy go in there and someone raised a ruckus about, there's a law that you can't bring the gun in here. And they said the sign that said no guns was the wrong size. It had to be 4 inches tall. It had to be this kind of letter. It had to be red. And the sign was like black and it was an inch, you know, a quarter inch too short or something. So they ruled it was legal to have the gun there. I mean, they're just gun crazy in Texas. I'm not gun crazy. I just need a gun in case someone needs dying.
In case someone needs dying. Actually, everyone is dying. You just want to help them speed it up a bit.
Hey, everybody's dying. We all just have different rates.
That's right. That's yet another bumper sticker. So other than losing your personal weaponry, what else is new and improved, Bart?
Well, I'm thinking this might possibly be our last radio show.
Really? Well, lay it on me. What's going on?
Well, you know, Al Franken's leaving Air America, and he said before the end of the year, which is, what, 2 weeks? So I figure it's just a matter of time before my phone's ringing.
So the Air America Network will be calling you up and paying you dozens of dollars to do your show?
Yeah, they're going to call and offer me like $18,000 a year.
That's about right. That's about right. What is going on with Air America, by the way?
I don't know, but it sure is screwy. I wish they could explain to me why they had to fire Mike Malloy and then hire a guy in his place. I mean, I wouldn't want to be the guy that they hired because I was cheaper than the other guy. Doesn't that sound like a slap in the face?
Well, what I don't understand is how they're losing so much money. And obviously, Franken himself moved, you know, from New York back to Minnesota, where it's cheaper for him to broadcast from. He took his staff with him. And here in L.A., you know, the bigger shows like the Stephanie Miller Show and Ed Schultz, they're not even part of Air America. They're on the same station that is broadcasting Air America, but they preempt Air America programming.
That's crazy.
So it's just weird. I'm not sure what's going on, but at least here in L.A., our station is doing really well and making a lot of money. It's just whether or not there's going to be a network to back it up in the long term, we'll see.
You would think that L.A. and or New York, each of them would be able to generate enough revenue to keep the damn network on the air.
You would think so.
And in the other 25 or 28 cities, whatever you think, that would be all gravy. How can they fuck this up other than they're just Democrats and they can't do anything right?
What part of Democrats not doing anything right did you not understand?
I think they need to hire a couple of Republicans to, you know, in the sales department and maybe in the technical department, and then just let the liberals get on the microphone.
That would be a good idea. That would be bipartisanship radio done right.
Crazy business.
Crazy business. Crazy.
Yeah, I'll tell you what else is crazy. Right now, you know, it's freezing in Oklahoma. I have to have the air conditioner on. My damn computer, you know, it's a big computer. It's a server.
I know.
It's got a 8-inch, oh yeah, you've seen it, but it's got an 8-inch fan and it generates so much heat. I had to turn the air conditioner and get a fan, like in the last hour, to try to bring down the temperature of the studio enough to where I could sit in here with the doors closed for an hour, because it's going to be like 100 degrees in here before we're done talking. And so it's freezing outside. I feel like I'm in the little butter dish, you know, how you get the refrigerator to keep cold things. And then in the refrigerator, you got to keep the little butter dish to keep the butter warm inside the cold thing inside the, you know, that's me. Trying to do radio under butter dish. It's a bitch.
That was the weirdest analogy you could possibly come up with, Bart.
But my analogies are always true.
Hey, here's something fun. Did you know that George W. Bush is an anagram for he grew bogus? It kind of makes some sense, doesn't it?
Is that true?
Yes, it is. Look it up.
I guess there are anagram generators still on the internet. I know when the internet was young.
Yeah.
Back when we and the internet were young, they had a bunch of those, and you could go mess with them. But
that's where I'd got it from.
You know, speaking of another thing, I know you've been to my house. Can you see me on a ladder stringing Christmas tree lights along the roof around the house? Can you see me doing that?
I can, but then I'd lose my appetite for the next week.
Well, the reason you can is because I didn't. Saw a sign at the Walmart driving by. It says, I swear to God, it said 200 lights. I think $1.99. I'm amazed, 100 lights for $1, 200 for $3.99. Someone, I went down there with a $10 bill. I whoop-de-dooed the whole front yard. I bought a bunch of blue lights and just strung them on those old falling down those shrubs and bushes and shit out there. So I just...
Blue lights?
Yeah, $8.
So you had a blue light special going on in your front yard?
Yeah, and I got it from Walmart instead of Kmart. See, it was irony there.
Yeah, and Sting will come along going, "Bad cop, you don't have to put out the blue lights."
Hey, speaking of Sting, we got to talk about this Paris and Britney business. What are they thinking? What is going on there?
You say that like it's a bad thing. I personally feel if any woman anywhere in the world wants to flash her coochie at the cameras, you know, that should be their God-given right. In fact, not only is it their right, it is their duty. As a red-blooded American, a Texan, and a Los Angelino, I think that's a good thing. What do you think?
Well, I'm guessing you haven't seen the pictures.
Hey, what's a cesarean scar among friends, right?
Well, that's what I was going to say. There's some things ought not to be flashed. I think she ought to sue that doctor.
Actually, it's I saw the pictures, and once again, it just ain't right. It was, it's like I just looked at it and go, "Oh, the humanity! My eyes are burning! Ah!" And quickly had to turn the page onto something much more pleasing, like genocide in Darfur or something, because I couldn't.
Those Darfur pictures get that taste right out of your mouth, don't
they? I'm telling you, just call up my friend and say, "Hey, bring over some Jack Daniels. We got some Darfur going on."
But I don't understand how Britney's bad behavior is splashing over onto my girl Paris. She's kept her legs together mostly in the last couple of weeks.
Mostly.
But somehow, yeah, the press is always Britney and Paris flashing everybody. Well, I haven't seen any Paris pictures. I've seen, too many Britney pictures. Haven't seen any Paris pictures.
Yeah, but the difference is that the Britney pictures are just a handful of single frames. When you already have a sex tape out there, Paris has got such a huge lead on everyone, so it'll take Britney a long time before she can top Paris.
We know something else in Paris's defense, not on the sex tape, but on the nudity thing. You know, and I know people will object to me using the word supermodel with Paris Hilton, but if you've ever seen her model clothes, she's as good as I've ever seen. She does that whole strut thing as good as anybody.
I think she's ugly as hell.
Well, that's a potentially legitimate... Sure.
Okay.
But the thing is, you know, supermodel or just a model, say you're just a model, their bodies are like a tool. They don't, you know, if a designer comes in and says, "Change that shirt," she doesn't ask him to turn around. She just whips it off. You know, you see these girls on the runways, and they got these, you know, about half the time they're wearing a little vest thing. And so if the wind blows or if they turn, their breasts come popping out and they don't panic. They don't, "Oh my God," and run off in humiliation. It's, you know, Christ, they're models in the modeling business. And if a little skin gets exposed, well, we're all human, made in God's image, that kind of thing. But everybody acts like, "Oh my Christ, I saw a nipple. Oh my," it's like the Janet Jackson, oh my Christ, I saw a nipple, oh my Christ. They just don't think they can make it through another day because they saw little God's handiwork there. But I don't think God had anything to do with Britney's cesarean.
Why do men have nipples anyway?
Hmm.
Hmm. This is the hard news that you can only get from Bart Cop Radio. That's right.
All right, let's get over to the hard news.
All right.
We'll start with Pelosi. You got any faith in her?
I don't have any non-faith, if there's such a, you know, a word. Basically, I'm reserving judgment. Nothing's happened yet, either pro or con.
True.
There's nothing to judge yet. I think she'll be better. No matter what, she's going to be better than who was there before.
You know, it's funny. I was listening to Randy Rhodes, I guess it was Thursday, and she was having the hardest time. Caller after caller is calling in saying, "Randy, why haven't the Democrats done anything?" And she kept trying to tell them, "They're not in power yet. That doesn't happen until January. What have they done?" And she said, "Well, stop. What are you doing? They can't. It's not, the game hasn't started yet." Caller after caller, finally, she half gave up. You know, she started going after a while because she just couldn't take it.
And I guess that's kind of my opinion on the whole Democrat nominee for president thing. I know this is a big point for you, and you and I discussed this last time when we did our Bart versus Tommy radio show. Just to let you know, Personally, I would prefer Obama as our nominee. But, like you, I'm going to vote for the Democrat. Whoever it is, I'm voting for them. I just personally think that Obama is more electable in the general election than Hillary or anyone else.
Well, I don't know. You know, people in the South, they won't even vote for an old fat white guy from up north. The only way we can get anybody elected these days is to run a Southern governor.
Well, there's a...
Seems like.
But there's a great book basically saying that the Democrats don't need the South to win anymore. We don't.
Well, I think more important, what we don't need anymore, Bush, I was going to get into this later, but Bush is going to keep fucking up and keep fucking up. He's not going to turn around. He's going to stay on this disaster course, and he's just not going to give in. They're going to either have to, I think the Republicans, it's funny, I've had this running joke with Mark Perkel for a few months about the Republicans are the ones that are going to end up impeaching Bush, and that may end up happening. They may have to go to him and say, dude, you're killing us. You got to either resign or do something here.
I think that you may be on something there because, flat out, Bush caused the loss of Congress. Everyone pretty much agrees on that.
For sure.
Second, and it's only going to get worse. I mean, after the Iraq study group basically gave him an out, he's still not going to listen to it. He's still doing his own thing. He still thinks we're going to win in Iraq. And the longer it goes on, you just hear the blood dripping away from the Republicans. They are going to have to turn on him in a way that it's a tsunami of hatred. It'll be awesome. It'll be Republican cannibalism. It'll be everything you've wanted to see for the last 6 years that for the Democrats to do to Republicans, the Republicans will be doing it.
You're using your tongue better than a $20 whore.
I'm going to cook some popcorn, put my feet up, watch the melee. It's going to be awesome.
I agree. I think it's going to be... Bush is not going to turn around. He is just too goddamn stubborn. And frankly, he's just too stupid. He doesn't entertain options. Everybody talk about how Clinton was always, oh, you know, first he's this way and then he's that way and he can't make up his mind. Well, Bush makes up his mind and doesn't vary from it no matter what happens. So, yeah, it's going to be amazing. What the hell are they going to do? I heard today his approval now is down to 30. And I heard this Lawrence O'Donnell, you know him, right?
Mm-hmm.
He said if Bush rejects the Baker Commission suggestions, he's going into the 20s. And I have to agree 1,000%. He's got nowhere to go.
The best part is every time you hear something like that, there's one man in Florida bashing his head against the wall going, why? Damn it. I was supposed to be president. Now my brother's ruining it for me.
There are rumors that, you know, Poppy Bush had his little crying jag earlier this week.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about Jeb's loss in Florida in 94, how, you know, they started weeping like a Bob Dole at Nixon's funeral. But the whole thing is, that probably was the way the dynasty was supposed to work. Jeb was supposed to win in 94, and that was supposed to be Jeb run for the White House in 2000. But he went and fucked that up, and then we got the Bonehead Jr., ended up in the White House, and he fucked everything up beyond. They're saying the BFEE is dead. They're saying the Republic. I've heard Republicans say that they're in trouble for maybe the 12, 16, 20 years. I mean, they're in that much trouble because they just sat there and did nothing while Bush made every wrong possible move he could, and now they're having to suffer for it. Hell, I wish we could have another election next month so they could lose more seats in the House and the Senate.
You know, if there's one extra little bit of icing that just made me grin from ear to ear, it's that crazy batshit lady Catherine Harris is out of everyone's hair. I mean, she's just disgraced in a way, and it was such a wonderful feeling to watch her candy ass leave Congress.
Well, yeah, and funny thing about her, don't have all the details, but somehow either her or her dad has $10 million, and she pledged to put all that into the campaign and didn't, but you know, as a loser, she's going away with $10 million. If I had $10 million, I'm not sure I'd run for office. I think I'd take my $10 million and, I don't know, I'd do something besides work. Last thing I'd invite is a whole bunch of scrutiny. Everybody look at me. Everybody check to see if I'm doing something wrong. I think I'd rather do something besides public service if I had that kind of money.
Huh.
So she's not exactly limping away a loser, but geez, with $10 million, she could get behind someone else in, whatever, 2008 and run them for office. That's a whole nightmare scenario, that Catherine Harris. You know, people keep sending me pictures of her with big tits and that hanging out. It's like, I don't want to run that. Her breasts don't interest me at all.
Yeah, that's definitely a butterface situation.
You wouldn't believe some of the pictures I get that I can't run.
Well,
I mean, some of them are...
Well, this is radio. Tell me about some of them.
I had better not. Well, hey, you probably have some thoughts on where Cheney's gay daughter got her man sperm.
I'm hoping it's David Crosby.
Wouldn't it be something if he turned out to be the ultimate donor? Just across the board, if you're a lesbian and you need some sperm, There you go.
That just really puts me off my food once again. So, actually, I have no idea who the father is. And you know what? I really don't care. And I'm blown away that so many people are fixated on this. Like, people, artificial insemination has been going on for decades. I mean, test tube babies or a womb with a view. I mean, this is no big deal. And just because she happens to be a lesbian, once again, I don't care who the father is. I hope she has a wonderful child and a wonderful family. And I hope one day that child grows up and kicks Granddad Cheney in the nuts.
Well, of course, the big problem here is that Cheney and the Republican Party are on record saying that gays have no business with children. Now they got some ordered. Now they got some in the pipeline.
Hey.
And that either it's wrong or it's not.
No one has ever accused the Republicans of not being hypocritical.
But, you know, it's always been a stickler with me. I mean, if a brave soldier dies in Iraq, and now he's got two kids, they're going to grow up without a father. Now, does that mean they're going to grow up funny? The whole Republican point behind you can't have gays living together, you can't have gays with kids and all that, because you have to have a mother and a dad for a kid to grow up balanced. But, of course, if a kid grows up without a father, he doesn't have a father figure to teach him right from wrong and respect for women and the law and this and that, and he gets in trouble with the law, they don't say, oh, the poor fellow, he grew up without a father, we should cut him a break. No, they say, screw him, throw him into jail, throw away the key. They're so inconsistent.
You know, it's funny you say that, because I'm thinking maybe what we should do to show a little bit of the hypocrisy is draft another Defense of Marriage Act. Let's call it the Defense of Marriage Act 2, and it basically outlaws divorce.
That would work for me.
I mean, if they actually say that you have to have a mom and a dad, and they have to defend marriage, well then, defend marriage. Outlaw divorce. Let's see how far that goes. Especially when the divorce rates in the red states are so much higher than the blue states. It's awesome.
True. I think Oklahoma is the king of that. I think Oklahoma is the king of divorces, the king of unwed mothers, king of meth labs. We got a bunch of crowns here in Oklahoma.
You know, those are a few of my favorite things.
Plus, in Oklahoma, we make our Save the Tree signs out of wood.
I love that. Now, I don't know if all the radio listeners know about this, but the first time I went to Tulsa about a decade ago, I was struck by the fact that on all the roadways, by the freeways and the interchanges and the loops and things, there are trees that people plant and then sponsor. And they have signs in front of it, and it says, Up with Trees. That's the name of the program. This tree was sponsored by the Kiwanis Club of Tulsa or something like that. But the signs are huge, and they're all made of wood. What kind of a sick, twisted society would plant trees and then make signs saying, we planted this tree and make it out of wood? That's astoundingly fun.
Probably it's the same society that rails against abortion, and then when the baby's born, you send him to Iraq to get blown up by a roadside bomb.
Well, true, true. But see, then it becomes a video game for people at home to watch.
Any idea why they have to call them, what's IED stand for?
Improvised Explosion Device.
Yeah, yeah. Why can't they call it a bomb? Are they getting paid by the word? Just makes you wonder. You know, he didn't die from a bomb. He died from one of them IEDs. It's like, well, it takes all afternoon to say IED. It just seems like a bomb would be so much easier to say.
Yeah, but you know something? That's once again, another bumper sticker. IEDs are the bomb.
Back to Dear Monkey. There's a certain lady I live with. She's predicting a Bush suicide. Now, how juicy would a Bush suicide in office be? That'd be better than Nixon by a whole bunch.
I think Henry Waxman said it best when they said, why won't you impeach Bush? And he said two words, Dick Cheney. If Bush killed himself, there would be justice in the world, except the fact that Cheney would be president. And that frightens me more than Bush surviving.
Maybe what we ought to do here is do what we did to Agnew. You know, we couldn't get rid of Nixon until we got rid of Agnew, so they... I don't know if you remember Agnew, but they caught him for, he took either a $5,000 or $10,000 bribe from the Milk Association. That's why he had to leave office, which then Nixon appointed Ford to come in so Ford would pardon him. But yeah, along those same lines, all we need is somebody come up behind Cheney with a paper bag and pop it and have Cheney have a cute angina, have a little problem, and then he might have to step down and spend some more time with his lesbian family. Who would you want in there for vice president to take over when Bush commits suicide?
Well, technically, the Speaker of the House is next.
Nancy, which would be kind of odd, don't you think? What if the Republicans went to Bush and said, you've got to step down, and that puts Pelosi in charge? That might be a way to knock Hillary out of 08. have President Pelosi be the incumbent in 07.
I like where you're going with this. It's a battle plan that we can all get behind.
If you remember, Clinton was in his 70s when he was getting impeached. His approval was in the 70s. I think it was maybe even the high 70s, 75, 76. And here's Bush at 30 now, and he's got nowhere to go but down.
I think Clinton would have had a higher approval rate, except if you're going to have sex with an intern, at least make sure she's much more attractive.
Well, yeah, it was funny how people tended to focus on that. I mean, if she was Sharon Stone in her 20s, would they say, well, hey, come on. You know, what the hell?
It's like that South Park episode where a female teacher is having sex with a boy student, but instead of the police getting all upset, they all go, nice. You mean that hot teacher is having sex with a boy? That's exactly what I'm saying. Nice.
Do you have any idea why did Bush say he started mocking the people that said we need a graceful exit from Iraq? He says, that's not going to happen. We're not going to have a graceful exit from Iraq. Like, neener, neener, we're not going to have that. And we're thinking, dude, that's a good thing. Did someone mess up your little flashcards when you're trying to memorize the word of the day? And is that somehow graceful came out as a negative?
I think what we need is Vasily from The Princess Bride going, there are things you need to know. One, never get into a land war in Russia. And two, never get into it with a Sicilian when death is on the line. And maybe three, don't go into Iraq. I mean, that's how I feel.
I'm just wondering what history is going to do with this monkey. What could he possibly do to end his presidency on a positive note? There's just nothing, is there? I mean, he's not going to cure cancer. There's not going to be peace in the Middle East. He's not going to do anything good with the economy. When you read President Bush 43, it's going to be the Iraq disaster and his stupidity and the idiot Republicans who allowed him to do it and the hopeless Democrats or helpless Democrats, I think either word would do, that were powerless to stop him.
I think he's going to take up dentistry and come out with a book called An Inconvenient Tooth.
Do you know what his only veto was? He's only had one veto in 6 years. You know what it was?
Stem cells.
Yes. The only thing he proactively stood up and did was anti-science. He said, we won't have any of that science on my watch. We're going to have all superstition and tea leaves and chicken bones, and we're not going to have any of that science on my watch.
I think he thought a veto was what happens when your toes point in two different directions. It's a veto.
Oh, God.
Thank you. I'll be here all week.
Is that going to make the cut?
No, that's going to be edited out. That one sucked. But now I have to keep it in because we just talked about it like that. And the comedy was in the fact that we just realized I made such a bad joke.
Ah.
Yep. So, Bart, let's jump off the news for a second and think about where we've come. First time I got onto BartCop.com was, I guess, mid-90s. When did you start it?
February 96.
February 96. Was it BartCop.com then, or was it Rush Limbaugh Lying Nazi Whore or whatever?
Well, actually, in February 96, we were just sending out a little newsletter, and probably 6 or 8 months later, Perkel started posting them on his site, and then it got to where I kept pestering him, saying, dude, I sent you my new issue like 10 minutes ago. It's not posted yet. What's wrong with you? What's the holdup? And he's going, hey, I got a life too. Why don't you become BartCop.com and post your own damn stuff, and that way we can each have a life. And that's how that happened.
Well, it's just very strange because I didn't see those very first issues, but I got on pretty quick back in the, I guess around 97, 98. And of course, I've seen every page every day since then. And it's just really cool to see how it's progressed. Not only the page, but of course, this radio show. When was the first radio broadcast? Do you remember?
Well, no, I could look it up, though, because each file has a date on it.
That's okay. So what do you think's next for the page and for the radio show?
Well, I don't know. What I'd like to do, I was going to do this on the page, but what I need is some assistant producers. For this to really work good, because, you know, I was thinking today, a big part of today's show is going to be a half hour of the McLaughlin report that I chopped up and jumped into, you know. It's not that I extra like him, but there's five of them, and they run through, you know, a list of subjects. So if they do six subjects, that's 30 opinions I get to bounce off of. And it just is so much easier for me to do that, because what I need is for someone like the tapes when Limbaugh comes on, if they would put a VCR, you know, tape in the VCR and just tape it. And when he says something really crazy, just look at the clock and say, oh, at 1:25, he said that. and then just send me that 5 minutes of crazy. Boy, if I could get some people to help me out with that, because on this McLaughlin, you know, we watch the show, and if they say something funny, that, you know, we TiVo it. If they say something funny or that I can work with, I spend another half hour, put that on a videotape. Then I take that videotape into the studio and put that videotape in the other player and put it on the computer. And then I got to go, you know, it's just a half hour takes 10, 12 hours of work. And so the only way to increase output to the radio show is to have somebody else feed me these. Trust me, John Stewart and Hannity and the Vulgar Pig Boy, they don't sit there with their recorder all weekend trying to catch a snippet of something they can talk about. They have their peeps just send this stuff to them, you know, cut 25, cut 27, cut 44. Boy, if I had that shit, we could do a show every Friday. So, yeah, I'd like to put out, I think we did this once before. I don't remember what happened, though. I think it was a couple of years ago, and so many people wrote, what's an MP3, and how do you record, and what's a microphone, that kind of thing. But maybe as the years have gone by, there are more people more familiar with the internet radio, mm-hmm. that we might be in a better position to have people sending me some high-quality MP3s that I can hear one time and record something, and boom, we can have a show.
So one way to increase the output of the show and the quality is perhaps getting it a little more interactive and involved with the listeners themselves. You got that, guys, out there?
Exactly.
Create some stingers and some bumpers and send us some really good MP3s of things you heard. And don't be afraid to edit. I mean, let's make this the YouTube of political radio. Let's make this bigger, faster, stronger, uncut.
Cool.
Maybe cut a little bit.
We need more people that are technically savvy. You know, it'd be cool, like, you know, someone like the Daily Brew, you know him. He had a little radio show for a while. It'd be cool if he could send in a little 5 minute snippet kind of thing like Tally does. If we could get 10 people send in 5 minutes, hey, that's an hour of the show there. That'd cut my load in half, and we could have more to bounce off of.
So you hear that, people? Become the reporters. Become part of the show. Become part of the experience. We need you.
Please. Send us your MP3s.
That's right. And if you want, I'll send everyone, you know, some of the Bart Cop drops and things like that, if you want to actually make pre-made pods, if you will.
Wait, I'm in a business and I don't know what a drop is. What's a drop?
Drops are those things like Bart Cop Radio. And, you know, you're listening to Bart Cop. That sort of stuff.
I see. Do you remember, I think it was the first time you were here, we ran into a whole bunch of those things. People doing harmony. It was like a choir, and they were doing this.
I know. What happened to those? Those
I don't
all
know,
disappeared.
Those were cool as hell.
I wish people would send them back.
Several times I put some on the page. I mean, this is something. Some people actually had to sit down and do this, and someone actually spent the time to put that together, and we put a thing on the page, hey, send some more of those, but I guess maybe I said something about Tiger Woods they didn't like, and they just never looked at the page again.
Or maybe they thought we were ignoring their handiwork and not using it, but the truth is, we lost it.
Name of the game.
True, true.
When you have an IQ of 64, it's damn hard to keep up.
It is indeed. So, I guess we got to do another 100 shows soon, don't we?
It'd be cool if we could do 100 shows in 2 years.
Well then, is there anything else you want to say to all the listeners in Bart Cop land?
Well, I might advise people to be careful what you wish for. I've been wishing for cold for, about 10 months. Now it showed up, and not only has it killed my cable, you know, I got cable modem, too. So that's been hurting me. I got to reboot 5-6 times a day. It just runs out. It's frozen. So that's been a big hassle. So yeah, be careful what you wish for.
So I guess people can actually say, hey, it's okay, Bart Cop's chilling.
Exactly.
Thank you. Once again, I'll be here all week. All right, well, show 100 in the can. This is Tommy Mack from Los Angeles.
And Bart Cop freezing his icicles in Tulsa.
That's right, and we hope you have a great weekend. See you soon.